Just speak slower, please. We got it. We got it. Can you hear me now? Well, good. All right. Let's make the preacher look dumb in the first 3 seconds of the message. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. It says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." And then look what it says. "And will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord." And will be a father. The Lord Jesus Christ, let me rephrase that already. Father is a reference to God 9 times in the Old Testament. Father is a reference to God well over 200 times in the New Testament, and you've got one right there. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 3 says, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." He indeed deserves the title. He's the Father of all living through creation. Father of Jesus Christ by incarnation, and He's the Father of all believers by adoption through redemption. Amen. And so what He's trying to say, Happy Father's Day, Lord! Amen. I'm going to get Him in there for you guys. Amen. And so now take your Bible and go to 3 John. Go to 3 John. Chapter 1, for you scholars. Just in case one slipped in. And let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do wish you a happy Father's Day. It is our desire this day, and should be every day, that we might walk worthy and well-pleasing unto Thee. You are deserving of our affection and our attention and our obedience. And Father, we wouldn't be children of anything good had you not seen fit to sacrifice and extend so much grace and patience and long suffering to usward. And we thank you for that, and we acknowledge that here, and we pray that you'd receive our thanks in such a way as to manifest yourself in the message this morning, because without you, we can do nothing. And we know it. So I pray that you'd especially help me with this morning, that it might accomplish your purpose and be a blessing to the hearts of the hearers today. And we pray it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Now, 3 John in verse 4. Maybe we'll begin. Let me see. 3 John, let's read, start verse 1. The elder, John, the apostle, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. The order of importance, the priority here is, first of all, that your soul prosper, and then your health, and then other areas in your life. We get that mixed up sometimes, and we get caught up in the temporal issues, but by and large, the most important thing is that your soul be right with God. Amen. That your soul prospereth, and then the physical is secondary. Because the physical is going to pass and the soul's not, and that's just God's order. We may say body, soul, and spirit out of habit, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible gives a different order of importance. It says spirit, soul, and body. And so that's the truth in verse 2. Verse 3, "For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Amen. That's what you want to have said about you. Something's going to be said about you. You got a testimony. Amen. And here's what the preacher says. He rejoiced greatly. In verse 4 in our text, he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Amen. No greater joy. Now, joy is a Bible word. Amen. Other than joy to the world at Christmas time, it's not a word I heard much when I was a lost guy. It's not a word that I used ever. The lost world isn't familiar with joy. It talks about happiness, but knows little about joy. Amen? The Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And, beloved, today, the joy of the Lord will get you through hard times. The joy of the Lord will get you through unhappy times. They're not the same. Amen. Traveling around, I see this. I see a lot of Christians are pretty anemic in this area. The joy of the Lord's not their strength. Their joy is in everything else, and therefore they are a little lacking in spiritual strength. What do you mean? Well, it just seems that over and over we're faced with the reality that even Bible-believing Christians don't seem to have the strength to resist temptation, amen, or say no to their flesh, or to stand for what's right, let alone witness, amen, about our lovely Lord and Savior. It seems that over and over a pastor spends a disproportionate amount of his time counseling with people that it wouldn't have the problems if the joy of the Lord was their strength, if they had some spiritual strength that comes from having your joy in the right place. And if that's you this morning, may I recommend some spiritual geritol for you? Yeah, and it works because it says in Psalm 51, verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. How do you do that? Well, in verse 10 it says, create in me a new heart, O God, and restore a right spirit within me. And I'll tell you what, when you get your salvation, the joy of your salvation restored, then your joy will be in the right place. You'll have some spiritual strength regardless of what's going on. Because listen, it's just part of the ride, friends. There's stuff going on. And so joy is pretty important in the Word of God, even though, and for a Christian, even though it wasn't a big deal in the old days. Turn to Psalm 16. Psalm 16, and look in verse 11. Psalm 16 and verse 11. The psalmist writes this right here. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Now notice, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. In thy presence, the term used to describe being in the presence of the Savior is joy. Again, I say it might not have much of a connotation in the secular life, but boy, for a Christian, it's pretty important to God. It ought to be pretty important to you. I know it's probably just a coincidence that verse is Psalm 16:11, but could I tell you that there's joy, fullness of joy, for being in the presence of the Lord and when you're face to face with Him in this book? Joy is pretty important. It made the list. Amen. There's some good lists and there's some bad ones, but Galatians 5:22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Joy is pretty important. Here's what he said. Here's what John said. I have no greater joy. Here's the key to the greatest joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Amen. Now let me say this to you men that are fathers. Happy Father's Day. Yeah. Seth came up and said, Happy Father's Day. I appreciate that. He's filling in for my kids, amen, who've been calling me and texting me all morning. But I appreciate that, but you know what occurred to me? I got to say Happy Father's Day to him, his first one. Yeah. Oh, you're in for it. Amen. Amen. But again, let me say Happy Father's Day. I hope you have a good one. I hope you get a nice steak. Get some cards. Maybe a gift or two. Come on. That's what I'm talking about. This came in the mail last Wednesday, and my wife wouldn't let me open it until this morning. I'm glad it wasn't something I needed to take back to the mall before I could wear it in public, even say, what are you, well, I've been there too. Amen. But, amen. Listen, I got a phone call this morning, and my daughter's name came up on the caller ID, but it wasn't my daughter's voice. It was my 3-year-old granddaughter's voice. Happy Father's Day, Papa. I love you. Right then, I forgot all the trouble her mother ever gave me right there. Actually, her mother never gave me much trouble, but that's a different message. When Rachel did get on the phone and wish me a Happy Father's Day and told me that she loved me, she said, her card got waylaid. It didn't come yet. She said, I didn't get you the same gift I got you last year. Last year on Father's Day, I was in Rochester, New York, and she called me and told me I was going to be a grandfather again. So she didn't get me that again. Amen. She goes, we're going to wait a couple more years for that one, Lord willing. But I said, Rachel, the best gift is to walk in truth. Best thing you could ever do for me, just continue to do right. Hallelujah. She's on her way to church when she called. Amen. That's it, see? Now, from personal standpoint, I've been through some ups and downs. And I'm telling you, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Amen? And so, nothing better than that. Nothing better than that. Okay? So, let's look at the verse. Let's just break it down a little bit. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. It doesn't say, I have no greater joy than to know that my kids are saved or that they go to church. It doesn't say, I have no greater joy than to know or to see them doing right, because I've experienced this. Sometimes kids act completely differently when they're away from the parents. There's a significance to the fact that it says, then to hear. He said in verse 3, I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. When you hear that your kid, or your child, or that's walking is walking in truth, it means somebody else saw and said something. News travels fast. That's the good news. Because I'm going to tell you something else. Bad news travels fast, too. Especially in these days of faceless book. Don't get me started. Listen here. When John says, I have no greater joy than to hear, it means someone noticed and told him. Amen. And word got back to him. Praise the Lord. He said, I have no greater joy. I know this. In the relationship between a father and a son or a daughter, you may be talented, and that might make your father happy this morning. You may be intelligent. That'd probably be a plus. You may become very successful. By the world standards, I followed a car somewhere and some Lexus or something and had a bumper sticker on the back. It just said, if my kid's a lawyer. Now, if you had spent as much time in lawyers as I have, that wouldn't have impressed you either. Amen. But evidently, it made that father proud. And those things might make for a happy Father's Day, but for a Christian dad in here, I'm going to tell you what, there's no greater joy for him than to hear that his children walk in truth. That they have, I'm trying to help you people today, that your kids have a godly test. You want to make your dad happy today? Then have a godly testimony. There's nothing better than that. You know what I see? I see some, they've got a testiphony instead of a testimony. Amen. Should I say that slower? Or I thought it was pretty good. I underlined it. Yeah, amen. I'm thinking too about not saying it again. But listen, he says, I have no greater joy but than to hear that my children. What's dad hearing about you? What's he hearing? Not how you act, not how you present yourself. What's coming around that he's hoping is not true? Or hoping is? Amen. You've got the potential to bestow no greater joy. It's Father's Day. Amen. This is my sharing and caring message. Somebody said, Brother Spurgeon, don't you have a sugar stick? And I said, yeah, I tried that. I tried that once. But it turned out to be more stick than sugar. So I'm just trying to share a little here. Amen. It says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk, not talk, walk in truth. You've heard the expression, talk's cheap? Yeah, it is. Amen. Anybody can talk. I remember back in the old days, money collectors, they would get people on the phone, threaten people, talk real tough. I went over a friend's house one time. I got there, and they were grieved over something, and I said, what's the matter, man? And they were getting phone calls like two or three an hour. The money collector, collection agency, some big thug, was calling, threatening them over a car that they were going to repossess and beat the money out of them and all that. And I said, oh, they're calling often, are they? And they said, oh, yeah, man. And I said, well, next time the phone rings, let me answer it. So the phone rang, and here it was the guy. And he said, yeah, you better tell your friend we're going to come over and rough him up and tow that car away and blah, blah, blah. I said, you got the easy part done. And the guy said, what do you mean? I said, well, it's this simple. That car's sitting right in the driveway, and I'm sitting right on the front porch, and I dare you to come over and get it, you stinking punk. Amen. Let me tell you something. Anybody's issuing threats over a telephone or an email or a, help me out, Facebook. That's what they are in my neighborhood. Punks. Amen. Talk's cheap. Anybody can talk. He didn't say talk. He said walk. Proverbs 20 and verse 6 says this. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? Yeah, here's what I noticed. Guys brag on themselves to impress girls. The girls can amen there. I got to do some of that hearing test again, honey, because, man, it's not getting through. So let me give you girls some advice. Don't waste your time on some jerk that only talks about himself all the time. You don't want to be hooked up with anybody like that. Has to spend a lot of time with his mouth trying to impress you. Amen. If there's any virtue to him, it'll become evident. But boy, some guys, amen. Anybody follow me? Nod your head or something. Okay, good. And but let me tell you, some girls, something else. Yeah, I got three daughters, or four. How many? Four. My wife is correcting me. Amen. Amen. Listen. Beware of the guys, maybe even more so. Beware of the guys that are telling you exactly what you want to hear. You beware of that crowd, right? That's even worse. Because they want something. And boy, if they ever get it, their whole tune will change. And if anybody ever start talking to you like that, why don't you come tell your pastor? We'll have a talk with him. Punk. Amen. But I got to say this too. Same thing goes for you boys. And don't waste your time with some girl. All she talks about is herself. And don't waste your time when some girl just tells you what you want to hear. Boy, I tell you what, I got a message called False Advertising. And it's about, and man, as I'm working on it, when I got filled images of girls and boys that pretended to be something they weren't to get a godly young man or a godly young lady, and then after they got them, then their true colors came out. Amen and amen. That one guy asked me before Rachel got married, a fellow at our church, he asked if he could write to her. He write to her, and we're on the road all the time. What a blessing that pretty much was. And this kid had been a little trouble, but I'm the last person in the world that's ever going to shoot anybody down for that. Not if they're trying to live for God. Amen. I'm not going to hold that against somebody. God didn't hold it against me. And so I just said, well, here's how it goes. You can write to her, not email. You can write to her, but I just want you to know that I have the power, to or the authority, maybe would be a better word. Let me just rephrase like this. I'm going to read the letter first. Yeah, and I do that. I did that for a long time. Then, you know, once they proved themselves, I didn't need to. Amen? Was that a good decision, honey? I got to think that through. Amen. But so this guy, and he's a good guy now, but he wrote to her, and man, I get this letter, and I've known this kid since he's a little kid, before juvenile, after, before he went to jail, after, and now he's writing his letter. Oh, what a wonderful day that the Lord has given us today. And then it goes on, as I ride down the road with my dad, going somewhere to do something, I marvel at the beauty of the creation, blah, blah, blah. And what a wonderful, I marvel that God has given me another day to serve Him. And I'm getting sick to my stomach, okay? I'm reading this letter, man, I'm getting ready to pull over. Hey, and you know, I just want to make sure you know why I was pulling over. He is not writing to her. He's writing to me. He's writing what he thinks I want to hear. And I saw through that from a mile off. Amen. So, and Rachel did too. I just looked at her. I said, what do you think of that? She goes, and, you know, we got home about a month later. And, you know, where he was? He was in jail for stealing a car. I asked her, I said, what are you going to do? Go soul winning with it? You know? He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You can be saved in here today and not walk in truth. Go to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Quit laughing, Grissom. The Bible says in Psalm 1, in verse 1, blessed is the man that, look what it says, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. There's a progression, a downward spiral, a progression right there. And it begins with walking in the counsel of the ungodly. And if you are, you're not walking in truth. You're not a blessing. And you're not getting blessed. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's why you keep struggling with things that you don't need to be struggling. Listen, we all have trials and battles, but you know, we don't have to keep having the same one over and over and over again. And maybe if you're not getting blessed, maybe it's because you're walking in the wrong counsel. Here's where I say, duh. You hear me? I mean, that's so profoundly simple, and yet people insist on doing it. Don't get your counsel from the ungodly like Hollywood, like their movies or their magazines. Don't get your counsel from the radio. Dr. Phil, I don't know who that is, but I don't have any questions for him other than, do you know where you're going to go when you die? Amen. Although, I'm just to be honest, in all fairness, I heard Dr. Laura a couple times have more sense than some Baptist I know. I won't hold the flag up on that. Let me say this too. Don't get your counsel from ungodly peers. In church or not. Amen. Don't get your counsel from the gossipers and the complainers and the sowers of discord. And blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Maybe you better start getting your counsel from somebody who's walking in truth. That's why God gave you a pastor. That's why God gave you a parent. Amen. That's why God gave you brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Give you the right kind of counsel. If you get it from the right place, I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll make your father happy. Amen. All right, so he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk, and then says, in truth. In truth. No greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. John 8:32, a profound verse to me, it says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, freedom is something that Americans ought to treasure. Amen. There's people in this world that live in bondage, and we don't know anything about it. And you better not take your freedom for granted, but I'll tell you what, there's a more important freedom than being able to pick which store you go to. There's a freedom that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. And he said, you shall know the truth. And he said in John 14 that that's who he is. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then for hardheads like you and me, he adds this. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Say, what does that mean? It means exactly what it said. Nobody's getting there except by way of the truth, and Jesus Christ is the truth. And let me ask you something. Do you have it? Have you believed the truth? Amen? The Bible says Jesus Christ died for your sins according to Scripture, was buried and rose again the third day according to Scripture. Right there is the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ that will change the eternal destination of your soul. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Best thing you could ever do to bring joy to your Father, heavenly or otherwise, is to be saved. I mean, really. And I hope you are. I hope you are. And if you're not, God would be extremely happy to forgive your sins today. He would. It says there's a joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that comes repentant. Nothing make God happier than that right there. You may have put a frown on a lot of faces. I know I did. But you can put a smile on God's today by coming to Him by faith and receiving Jesus Christ your Savior if you're not saved. Amen. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And if you are saved, I know this. I know this. That's true at my level. There's just nothing that compares with it. Everything else can be in a row, and when a kid's out of line, there's a grief that goes with that that's beyond all the other things, and except salvation, except Jesus Christ. And if that's true at our level, how much more so would that be true at God's level? No greater joy, you know, for you kids. It's Father's Day. I hope you, your dad has a happy Father's Day. But God's our Father. And we're His children. And we ought to be concerned with Him having a happy Father's Day, too. And the application is totally applicable. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. But I wonder if the antithesis wouldn't also be true. I know it is on the temporal level. Wouldn't it be true for God to say, I have no greater sorrow than to hear that my children don't? Would anything grieve the Lord more than knowing that those that have received the gift of eternal life at the expense of His own dear Son, and then just take it for granted and put things of this world, things of themselves, higher on their list of priorities than Him? Amen? Well, it's Father's Day. I wouldn't want to be guilty of things today, knowingly, that would cause God to have quite the opposite of a happy Father's Day. He loves you. This is an individual thing. How's your relationship with Him today? Are you making Him happy? Is He having a happy Father's Day? I'll tell you something. More than songs and more than sacrifice and more than service, what God rejoices in today was for you and I, would be for you and I to walk in truth. Amen. Are you? If you haven't been, well, God is so incredibly merciful that He's giving you another chance today to start. It's really that simple. Forgetting that which is behind and reaching forth unto that which is before. And maybe that's what time it is. Maybe it's time to leave the past in the past and get a new direction today. And that's walking in truth and being pleasing to your Father and valuable to Him too. And if you're in here and you're not saved, He's not your Father. He's not your Heavenly Father, but He can be and He'd like to be. And we'd like to invite you to let us introduce you to God, to Lord Jesus Christ, to the Creator, to the one that went the distance to make a way for you not to get what you deserve. I'm glad I'm not getting what I deserve. And if you're in here today and you're not saved, boy, it would be good to welcome you to the family of God today. But that's going to have to be your decision. You're going to have to come by faith and by choice. We can't do it for you. We can't pray you in. I have no sales pitch. But I'll tell you what, it'll be the best decision you ever make in your life. Father, I love You this morning. And God, You have been so merciful and so patient and so long-suffering with me. And You are even as I pray this prayer. And Father, I've been guilty of taking Your grace and Your love for granted. And I apologize and repent of that and confess that I need Your help not to continue. And so, but I do. I want to bring the joy to You, Lord, that You deserve. And if it's as simple as me walking in truth, that's really for my benefit. And I pray You'd help me do so. And there's a lot of others of us in here this morning that are in exactly the same boat. And so I pray, God, that You continue to guide us and direct us, and that we may walk all pleasing and well-pleasing. Again, if there's someone in here that's not saved, I pray You make it easy for them to understand that when it's all said and done, the most important issue there is that You are their Heavenly Father. Amen. That You're their Savior, that You're not their judge. And that could happen today by faith, and I pray it be so. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, let's stand. Number 438, please. Let's stand, and I appreciate the fact the preacher says there's no sales pitch here. There's really not. You can have eternal life. You can be forgiven for your sins by the greatest transaction that could ever take place. And that transaction is moderated by faith, by what you believe, by what you trust. And Jesus Christ makes that possible. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, would you come this morning? Number 438. couple minutes perhaps. Give you an opportunity to come this morning if you're a Christian. And Lord's spoken to your heart here out of this message. How you walk. Are you walking in truth? You're walking in righteousness. You're walking in holiness. You want to do right. Know what it is to have genuinely repented over something in the last weeks, days. Actually found a place where you found your fellowship with God sweeter because you'd come to Him in truth. Give you an opportunity to come. What can revival be without something like that? But also for someone here who is still standing, still has not received Christ as their Savior. Please, stop and think about it. There are deals for a car, for a house. If the offer was made, you would never pass up in 1,000 years. If somebody offered you a brand new car for nothing. Somebody offered you a mansion for nothing. Let me tell you something. Somebody paid the price, offered you eternal life, and it costs you nothing but your pride. A little bit of a humble, contrite spirit in receiving a gift of something you could never earn in 10,000 years. Consider Jesus Christ who died for your sins. Consider Jesus Christ who bore your sins in His own body on the tree, died, rose again the third day, ever liveth to make intercession for you. Amen? Consider Jesus Christ, and He offers you a free gift this morning, eternal life, and your price is faith. Your price is a humble, contrite, repentant spirit, and trust, faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If you've never made that transaction, would you come? Give somebody here a chance to show you privately, and I mean privately, out of the Bible, how you can be saved. All right, let's look this way. Number three. Appreciate all y'all being here this morning. It's been a good crowd all week, and appreciate your faithfulness. Some of you are here for the first time perhaps this morning. Glad you're here. Glad you made it. We're going to meet again at 6 tonight. Amen. We're going to do this one more time before Brother Spurgeon and Mrs. have to hit the road down to Hastings, Minnesota on Wednesday. Which reminds me to say, he will be in Hastings Wednesday through Sunday, right? So anybody's interested in going down there, I believe it's 7 o'clock each night. And then they have regular church times on Sunday as well. So hopefully you'll take him up on that. Again, there's some CDs in the back there. Brother Spurgeon's guarding the money till. It's only $5,000 a tape. They went up over the last 30 minutes. So, amen. All right, we once again welcome the Bismarck folks. Say goodbye to these folks and let them know that we're praying for them. They'll be 6.5 or 7 hours getting home, I suppose, unless Brother Habman's driving. So, I don't know. Probably be home in 5 hours in time for church tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love and goodness to us. We appreciate all we've heard already this week. And we look forward to one more time tonight. We'll come together, Lord. Enjoy the singing, the fellowship. I appreciate my brothers and sisters in Christ. Not only the ones, Lord, that go around and do something special, like the Spurgeons. Father, not only friends that come over from Bismarck to see us, but for everybody that's here as well, that labors diligently and regularly and sometimes in relative mundaneness, Lord. Appreciate faithful folks. We ask, Lord, that you will bless the rest of the day today. Give us some rest this afternoon. We look forward to tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Good afternoon, folks.